Now, Evangelist Winston Tye.
Thank you. My subject is entitled The Glorious Gospel of Christ. And I call your attention to the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, 3rd verse. The Apostle Paul declared, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." He then said, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." 2 Corinthians 4:4. So, I take those two words, glorious gospel. Do you, my friend, believe that the gospel is glorious? The glorious gospel of Christ is a demonstration of God's wisdom, and it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. Therefore, the gospel is suited to all the needs of the race in all times. It was Jesus who said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16:15-16. From the scriptures, we learn that this gospel was proclaimed on the first Pentecost after the Savior's resurrection. Having heard the Apostle Peter proclaim the glorious gospel of Christ, the believers cried out of the depth of conscious responsibility, saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2:37-38. It is worthy of observation that the apostle did not preach salvation from sin at the point of faith, believing that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. They were told to repent and be baptized in order to the remission of sins. We may be assured that this is the pattern of apostolic preaching. In the 6th chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul is at the heart of his great argument to prove that when one is baptized into Christ, he is baptized into his death. Therefore, we know that the old man of sin is crucified with him, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Representatives from 16 nations heard the Apostle Peter preach the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and they that gladly received the word were baptized. Acts 2:41. 3,000 people were baptized on the day of Pentecost, the day the church was established. The congregation in Jerusalem grew to include 5,000 men. With this auspicious beginning, it is said, "And believers were the more added unto the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women." Acts 5:14. It was when the word of God increased that the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem exceedingly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Acts 6:7. a biblical and historical perspective of the church in Jerusalem reveals that it was a growing, vibrant congregation. Who can reject the contention that the earliest Christians were building the church as they went about preaching the word? Acts 8 and 4. The seed is the word of God. First century Christians were sowing the same kind of seed, and it invariably produced Christians when it produced anything. Gospel preaching is seed sowing. Preach or teach is generic, and we may select one or all of the procedures available in sowing the seed. Sowing the seed of the kingdom by means of the mass media is taking advantage of our opportunities. It is not my purpose to study the persuasion process. We know what happens when we preach the gospel. Jesus told us all about it in the parable of the sower. My first concern is to preach the gospel. The word will not return to him void, and it will accomplish the thing whereunto he sent it. The charge to make disciples of all the nations is at once a glorious opportunity and a solemn responsibility. The apostles were told to witness of Jesus in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Who can read the 8th chapter of Acts without being impressed with the work of Philip the evangelist? Luke's record of Philip preaching in Samaria is an inspiration to gospel preachers. Philip made his contribution to the growth of the church when he preached good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. It is said that when they believed Philip, they were baptized, both men and women. The conversion of the Gentiles at Acts 10 and 11 gave impetus to the challenge of preaching the gospel to all nations. Paul knew the work of preaching the gospel is awesome in its scope, with the help of Silas. And in response to the Macedonian call, he left Asia Minor and established the church in Europe. Finally, he could say that the gospel is also in all the world bearing fruit, Colossians 1 and 6. Paul admonished the Christians at Colossae to be on guard and not to move away from the hope of the gospel, which was preached in all creation under heaven, Colossians 1:23. What were the qualities of the preachers who preached the glorious gospel of Christ? Absolute trust in the power of the gospel. Absolutely no one can accuse those first century preachers of building the church around the personality of the preacher. Any congregation that is built around the personality of the preacher does not deserve to survive. Then there was a vision, a world wide evangelism, the boundless optimism of the Lord Jesus Christ, was and is an inspiration. The gospel was preached to the world by men who were fired with a passion for souls. There was belief in the abiding presence of Jesus. The assurance of his divine presence brings comfort and gives strength. The first preachers of the gospel were church builders. They believed that the gospel is God's powerful means of saving souls. The nature and intensity of their conviction is seen in the growth of the church. One of the great texts of the Bible is found in the words of Isaiah, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." This thought is repeated in the New Testament. Consequently, the believer is filled with the assurance of pardon, deliverance from the guilt and the penalty of sin. The truth of God is the only power that can change the human heart. We must plant the Word of God, the seed of the kingdom, in the heart. If the seed we sow falls into a good and honest heart, it will bring forth fruit. If the seed we sow produces anything, it will produce a Christian. The lesson that I have impressed upon you is the lesson of the whole Bible. It is, God will save those who believe and obey Him. It is, we are not here to stay, and it is the wise man who makes the future safe. The love of God is designed to win the love of our hearts. Now is the time to lay our plans for the future life. Now is the time to deal honestly with self and with God. God bless you, my friend.